It is well. A faith that hangs on to the end. So I find it a privilege to be a part of spending this day with you all. You know, several years ago, we were asked to share and host the Four Chaplain Sunday. And to be honest, I had heard of these gentlemen before. And to sit back and look at the account and the fact that this is the 77th anniversary of their death, the Legion has held this service over those years to remember. Such a sacrifice of valor service to mankind. We focus this morning on these four gentlemen, four chaplains from different backgrounds and different faiths, to reflect back on the 40s and to read of that time. There was such turmoil in our nation, such division, which I think of reflects our society. Race issues were huge. Blacks were in the back of the bus, so allowed only through certain doors, and the tensions were tight. We had those, a division of religion and faith and politics. The discord, as I said, sounds like a modern tale today. And one of the things that has made this country great was built upon faith. And I find it no wonder that the inspiration of that time rose up from four men of faith, living out their faith. I think we live in a world where we want to be told to hide our faith. I think it's just the opposite. We need to live out our faith and be true to it. But see, even though we may differ, what it tells us, we are all together. We start talking about these gentlemen. We start with Father John Washington. He came from a big Catholic family in New Jersey. At the age of 12, had a near-death experience with a throat infection. Actually, it was so bad that they actually called for last rites to be done. And when we recovered, he told his sister, "God must have something very special for me to do." We have Rabbi Alexander Good. Came from a long line of rabbis. He said he remembered as a child at the age of 10 going to Arlington and touched by the patriotism of the unknown soldier and watching and wept when Pearl Harbor rocked the nation. He could no longer just stay in his temple and signed up for service to serve his country and his God. So much so, actually, he actually wanted to serve overseas, and he got his wish. Reverend Clark Poling, a minister of the Dutch Reformed Church, had an opportunity to make his wealth and fame being a lawyer, but he turned that down to serve. It's interesting, as he headed off to war, this was his request to his father. He says, "Don't pray for my safe return. Just pray that I do my duty." And we have Reverend George Fox, who had received a silver star, the Purple Heart. He was the old man of the group. He had served in World War I. And many could have said that he had done his time, he had done his service. And yet when the call came, he left his small Vermont church and joined the military. The events of that day are striking. The Dorchester was a cruise ship that was retrofitted to be a transport. And because of that, they were called to duty. They start off in Newfoundland, head off to an American base in Greenland. So they headed out. The old steamship was chugging along with two other transport vehicles, being escorted by Navy cutters. And as they headed out that day, that brisk, chilly morning, they knew danger was in the water. Men were warned, be careful. There were German U-boats spotted offshore. The captain was so concerned, he turned around and he warned his men. He goes, look, be ready, be prepared. As they traveled off, they were sent downstairs, and as they were bunking in for the night, it became long and hot. As the engines were producing heat, the crew of 900 and packed in. Many of them settled down for the night, thinking everything would be fine, not heeding the warning of their own captain. Most of them had taken off their life jackets. They were bulky and uncomfortable and hard to sleep in. Many had stripped down to just their underclothes. Some tried to sleep. Others stayed up and played cards and other forms of entertainment that military men do. Unaware that danger was closer than they thought. At 12:55 a.m., a German periscope broke through the waters. The German U-boats were known as the Wolfpack. They were dangerous, silent, and just a mere 150 miles from their destination, the German captain let loose three torpedoes. One of those torpedoes hit broadside below the waterline, a fatal shot. The ship flashed from the blow. It lost communication, lost power, and was unable to communicate with the escort ships. It was too late. The torpedo had already done its damage. It has hit the shot. In less than 20 minutes, the ship would have been lost to sea. Chaos pursued. Many men were woken from their sleep. Others were distracted from their games. They rose up and began to panic and flee in which direction to go. The lights were out. Even though many had trained in the moment of panic and chaos overcame. As many were trying to pack up and go and grab what they could and head up to flee, eyewitnesses share there was four chaplains who stayed and tried to direct the men, tried to calm them, reassure them, and head them out. So they made their way through the ship, up the stairs, opened the door to flee outside, to go from the steaming temperatures inside to the freezing cold outside must have hit them like a brick wall, further disorientating them, adding further confusion. The many had fled, and he took the lifeboats and would cut them, and out of 14, only two were used. Many of them were filled up to the capacity and tipped over and capsized. Many life rafts were thrown overboard, but because of the chaos, they drifted off before many of the men jumped in. And yet throughout the ship, there's four chaplains, men of faith, who reassure the men, directing them, pointing them in where they should go. At one point, Rabbi Good stopped a man who was going to return in. He goes, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I have to go back. I need to get my gloves. It's freezing cold." And as he went to go through the door, the rabbi says, "Stop." He goes, "Use mine." He goes, "No, I can't. I take your gloves." He goes, "No, that's fine. I have an extra pair. Please just take this and go to safety." It was later that man realized that the rabbi did not have two sets of gloves, but sacrificially gave up his. Because so many of the lifeboats were unusable and many of the rafts had drifted off, many men had to just jump overboard. And those gloves that were shared probably saved that man's life because he was able to hang on to something that was floating by. In the cold waters, death would have been within minutes. Yet because of the oil slick that had gushed out of the Dorchester as they came out through, actually coated and covered the men, insulating them somewhat and also helping them keep afloat. Remember I said that communication was lost. Actually, one of the cutters who was escorting saw the flash and they were able to turn around and pick up several men. Another one saw that as well and turned around and started to rescue men. The third took off with the other transports to see the other men to safety. The chaplains now, at this point, were out of the bowels of the ship. We're now on the sides and in here. We're giving off and ordering men where to go. They came upon a locker and opened it up and were handing out life jackets to the men who came up so ill-prepared. And when the last life jacket was given out, the men did not stop there. Each of these men of God took off their life jackets and handed it to the nearest servicemen they had. It's been pointed out the rabbi did not look for a Jewish man. The Catholic did not look for a Catholic man, a Reform or a Protestant. But was willing to give to all those who were around him. That night, out of 902 souls on that ship, only 230 were saved. Lost their lives. Because the enemy was real, the dangers were real, the warnings were real. And yet they were still prepared. As the ship was going down, an eyewitness recalls these four chaplains were locked arm in arm, singing and praising to God. It was later described as four faces worshiping one God. And each one sang in Hebrew or Latin or English. But it was all united as the ship went down. In light of such sacrifice, we are humbled. As these men were honored after their death for their bravery, for their sacrifice. As I mentioned, it's been 77 years and these men are still remembered, and I appreciate the Legion holding these men in remembrance of what they did. And it strikes us that we live in a society that is so divided today. Issues of religion and race still divide us. It still flares up its head. I think the call and testimony comes out that we're not on a ship this morning. But folks, can I tell you something? The enemy is still real. The warning still goes out. And we need men and women who are willing to cry out the warning. The warning may not be against the German U-boat. I think you would agree with me that our nation is in danger from a far greater enemy. When I was asked to share this, I love this opportunity because the sacrifice of these men just touch a chord within us, because I think it reflects the gospel and a sacrifice that God made for us. The warning still goes out. 1 John 2:16-17 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." The call still goes out. The warning, the enemy is out there. Grab your lifeboat. Grab your life jacket. Be prepared. Be ready. That lifeboat is the Lord Jesus Christ. Be prepared. Be ready. The sacrifice of these men are honored because I think they reflect ultimately the love of God towards us. There's three things that come striking out to me. First of all, God's love is undeserving. Is undeserving. You know, on that ship, I can just hear the modern commentators. You know, of course, today it would have been on the news of, you know, were these guys Republicans or Democrats? Because that really taints on which side of the story you're on. Right? But I imagine as it comes up through, that each man could have said, you know what? Oh, you weren't ready. Oh, you're down playing cards. Oh, you took your life jacket off. The chaplain said, you know what? I'm going to give it to someone who deserves it. That's not what happened. These men showed a sacrificial love, which I think reflects the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he loves us, so we don't deserve it. If you were to ask me why God loves me, I would tell you, I don't know why. I'm not a very lovely guy. But God loves me because he chooses to. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Somewhere along the line, people think that church is for perfect people. It's not. It's for flawed people. It's for lost people. It's for struggling people. As each chaplain handed out to these undeserving people, so God dispenses his love towards us. See, you don't have to be worthy of God's love. He just chooses to love you anyways. God's love is undiscerning. As I said, as each chaplain came up through and was handing out life jackets, as men were running back and forth and they're pointing them and directing them and trying to calm them and reassure them in the middle of this chaos, each one, no one ever asked, "Hey, are you a Jew? Are you a Christian? Are you Catholic?" Those questions never came up. As each man took off his life jacket, as each chaplain took it off himself, knowing that he was dooming himself, it didn't matter who he gave it to, as long as it came to someone. See, God's love is undiscerning as well. The Bible says, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whoever you are. Doesn't matter what kind of family you came from. Doesn't matter your wealth, your background. Doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. If you have it all together, or you don't. God says, whoever comes, I will in no way turn away. An undiscerning love. The last point. God's love is unselfish. The Bible says, no greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. He goes on to say, surely for a righteous man someone might die, but for an unrighteous man? You know, in my household, my wife, my child, I would give my life, I would sacrifice, I would do what I need to do to protect those that I love. But if it came out of my life and yours, I may have to think about it. It's interesting how Facebook reveals really the heart of people. Because you can't see them face to face, so people will post things that they would never say face to face. And it's amazing the hateful, hurtful things that are said. Oh, they deserve it. Oh, they're from that side of town. Oh, they're from that family. Right? I wouldn't help them. I was watching a show, and one of these psychology type of shows, and they did a thing where you came up to a cashier, and the cashier was rude to you and mean to you, and then they gave you the wrong amount of money, and they said, oh, would you give it back? And they found most people like, well, she was mean and nasty. I'm going to keep the money. I'm not going to, right? And then the same person later on was an actress, and she was nice. And they said, oh, because this person was nice, I'll help her out. See, sometimes we're very selfish with our love. And I think one of the reasons this account with these chaplains strikes such a chord in us, because it's that selflessness that's there. You know, imagine a young man who maybe had done a few things. Now, I was never in the military. Many in my family were. I've heard stories of some of the things some of these military guys were involved in. And they're not always the best. And sometimes they've done horrific things. And one of those chaplains could have easily said, you know what, there's someone else who's more deserving of this. I'm willing to give off my life jacket, but you know what, not to you. You know what, I'll give it to you. You deserve it more. But they didn't. Their love was selfless. God's love towards us is selfless. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Because God loves you, not because you deserve it, he selfishly gave up his Son. The warning is out there. The dangers are real. The solution is sure. God the Father doesn't have a life jacket for you, but he has his Son he wants to give you. That whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. On that night in 1943, at 12:55, when the torpedo hit, the ship was doomed. That night, 600 men lost their life. And a few were saved. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. That offer is for you to accept his Son and what he did for you. These chaplains remind us of the sacrifice that God gave for us. It strikes a chord, and I pray in light of God's great love that he will touch a chord in you. They say, yes, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I will accept you and welcome you into my life. The Bible says he does that. And he will save you. Such a great sacrifice calls for a great response. The story of these chaplains was shared and really became a rallying cry, a call for change. And this morning, as we honor these men and their sacrifice, I pray within us, it will call for a change to accept him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for these men who sacrificed it all. And Lord, I believe it's just a reflection of the love that you have for us. Lord, such a great sacrifice from these men. Makes us to stand in awe and humble ourselves. Lord, in your great love, as we stand before you, Lord, I pray we humble ourselves and accept you and what you've done for us. Bless us this day. Encourage us that you are behind the scenes working in our lives, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen.